Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah! Amen. Lift up your hands unto the Lord. We bless you. Thank you, Jesus. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be hallowed, Adonai. Do it again. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, Adonai, yes. Adonai. Now, Kwame Nkrumah was a man of passion.
Kwame Nkrumah, no, you'll be a pepe bi woni mu.
I mean, you should even listen to him talk.
Wakasakura awosha.
Ghana, my beloved country, is free forever. Freedom, freedom, freedom. God bless you. Then you say, the independence of Ghana is meaningless unless it is linked to the total redemption of the African continent. He was a man of passion. Look, somebody like Rawlings, our former president, Rawlings of blessed memory, was a man of passion. I mean, you... There are very few heads of states and presidents we have had in our country who showed so much passion for what they do. And I think that he really loved this nation. And he loved the people of
Ghana.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then, who else can you talk about? You can talk about the richest man on earth today. Do you know who is the richest man? You are mentioning yourself. May it be according as your faith declares it. The richest man, I mean, before your time comes, is a man called Elon Musk. Now, he is the pioneer of electric cars. And then also, he's into space exploration. That guy is worth $252 billion. Does anybody know where he stays? Please, lead me to him. Tell him that I only want $300,000. That's all I want. So that I can finish this church building project. Ah, he lives around Pastor Philip's place. Oh, around, what's that area called? Zenu, Washington, New York, those areas. Okay. Oh, and it's very close to the dam. He is richer than the whole of Ghana. His worth is 3 times the worth of Ghana. But his worth is about the GDP of Nigeria. So Ghanaians, don't be too known. When Nigerians are talking, don't say some. Do you have any Nigerians sitting by you? Tell the Nigerian, I salute you, sir. Yeah. These are people of passion. And in every field of pursuit, you find out that those who excelled and did well were people of passion.
Now, Abraham, we be otimi ye bibi wie bia ye omo omo de osebia ne ahodin bi eye eye answer.
So if you talk about music,
there are
so many names you can mention. Like in Ghana, whose name can you mention? Joe Metal, James Mills. Music, oh please. Prophesying, yes. Music, no. You know, and a lot of these secular artists, when you come to football, whose name would you mention? Zero, is that not so? Eh? But the greatest of all time is Messi. But I think that Ronaldo is more passionate. Yeah. I'm a fan of Messi. But when I watch that Zero guy, I think that his passion is more. Messi is passionate, but Zero is at another level. Alright? There are you. Hey, they said they've sacked him from the Black Stars, but he's still playing. So I've just given you these examples to point out something to you. That the people who succeed in this life usually are people of passion. And with all these people, there was something inside so strong that drove them. I declare concerning you today that God is changing you to become a man and a woman of passion.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I said in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then I explained to you also that passion is a barely controllable emotion towards somebody or something. And it's so strong that sometimes it's difficult to control it. So when you have passion towards somebody, like when you fall in love and it's a proper falling in love, when you see the person, you go brrr. That feeling, that brrr feeling. Yeah, that's what we call passion. And it's difficult to control it. Some years ago, a friend of mine told me a story. He was driving along the Dansoman High Street. I think there was a bit of traffic. But his attention was drawn by a young lady who was walking on the pavement. She seemed to be under a lot of emotion. And it was like she was saying something to herself. At a point, she knelt on the pavement and lifted up her hands. So he was curious about what was happening. So he packed and went to her to find out whether she needed any help. And when he got to her, he noticed that she had some earpieces in her ears. I think she was listening to a worship song. And she was so affected by it. And tears were streaming down her face. And when he asked her what the problem was, she said, "I'm in love with Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus." That's what we call passion.
When your friends say, "Oh, shebi edi ebribi,"
it's so strong that you can barely control yourself. There are other words that can be used instead of passion. Like zeal.
And they say,
heat.
And I say, "Oshilbi."
Affection.
And I say, "Atinkebi."
Devotion.
And I say, "Ahufamabi."
Dedication.
And I say, "Ahufamabi."
And then warmth.
And I say,
hallelujah.
Amen.
And in another sense also, passion means anger or resentment. He drove the people out of the temple. He was angry about what was going on. And when you are passionate about somebody or something, yourself comes fully when somebody is mistreating or maltreating that person. I'm passionate about this church because it's my life, my sweat, and it's something that I've given virtually all, everything to. First, I've given it to the Lord, and then also to his house. So when I realized that somebody is treating the church with disrespect, it affects me. And you are likely to get a certain kind of reaction that you wouldn't like. I think I'm generally speaking a nice person by the grace of God. But you can spark me in a wrong way when you don't speak well of the Lord, of his house, and of the things of God. So that is passion. And I pray that all of us will have that. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, last week, I took you through a lot of scriptures to show you that Jesus Christ was a man of passion. Now, as he was in this world, so must we also be. Because really, he's the one we are seeking to emulate. So if Jesus was a man of passion, we cannot be anything less. And we should be passionate about God. Passionate about the things of God. Passionate about the house of God. Passionate about the work of God. And passionate about the people of God. Why am I teaching you on this subject? Because I believe that God wants you and I to be people of passion. To be passionate about him. And passionate about anything and everything and everybody connected to him. Now what I'm sharing with you can be related to various fields of pursuit. So the truths that I'm sharing with you, directing you to be passionate about God and the things of God, these truths can also be applied to whatever it is you do in this life. And I told you last week that I'm going to share with you some of the signs of passion. Because there are certain signs and symptoms that are related to passion. How would you know if you are passionate about God? I'm feeding back now. How do you know if you are passionate about God and about the things of God? There are certain signs to look out for. But before I move into those signs, I want to try and convince you again about why passion is important. So why passion is important? Is important. Number one, passion is like the fuel that drives and motivates you
If we say sa or pepana or sepan, and on I say mubia, a saying a boy me bribe.
Passion is like the fuel that drives. Pastor James, can you attend to somebody at the back? I think there's a problem there. Passion is like the fuel that drives and motivates you. In anything you set out to achieve. I'll say it again. We are looking at why passion is important. And I'm explaining to you, it is like the fuel that drives and motivates you in anything you set out to achieve. Dr. Ebo, I will need your help. Eh? Can you please check out what is wrong with the young lady who stepped up? Thank you very much. So, with that passion, you will give up. So, it is like fuel. Fuel is what moves your car. It's not water. It's fuel. Without it, the car cannot drive. And passion is like that. It's a fuel that drives and motivates you. So whatever you're trying to do, that is what can actually drive and motivate you. The lack of it will not make you go far. And it explains why we give up on many things. Because there is no passion for it. And when we meet difficulties and challenges, we stop. We give up. We quit. And the reason is because passion. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me show you the scripture in Genesis chapter 29 and verse
20.
Genesis 29 verse
20.
All of you are familiar with the story of Jacob. Now, Jacob was a twin. His twin brother was called
Esau.
He did Esau 419. And he had to run away to his uncle Laban's house. And when he got there, he saw some fine chick who was his cousin. And he fell in love with her. In those times, you can marry your cousin. In these times, I don't know whether you can. But he fell in love with her. And he told his uncle that I want to marry Rachel. Or Rahel. What do I have to do? And his uncle said, if you want to marry my daughter, then you have to work for me for 7 years. After the seventh year, I will give her to you as your wife. Now look at what the Bible says in Genesis 29 verse 20. It says, so Jacob worked 7 years to pay for Rachel. Now look at the last part of it. But his love for her was so strong. It was so strong that it seemed to him but a few days. Now that is passion. There was something on his inside that was driving him so much so that even though he had to work 7 years for her, to him it was like a few days. And ladies and gentlemen, 7 years is a very long time. I mean, most of you, if you want to marry somebody and they say work 7 years, take your thing like that. Odoka kra menya ama obabai obese me ya wa kwa 7 years. Fa de. And the interesting thing is that He actually ended up working for 14 years. And it did not affect his love for her. And his passion for her. He didn't give up. His uncle mistreated him. But he didn't give up. Over that period of time, it was after 14 years that he finally could embrace her as his own. Because after the 7 years, his uncle tricked him. Rachel had an elder sister called Leah.
Now, Rachel, when you have a friend Leah.
And I don't know, in those times, on the honeymoon night, you don't turn on lights. So as you are in the bed chamber, you don't see who is there. Everything has to be done under the cover of the darkness. When Jacob, after the honeymoon, the first night, he was very happy. Then dawn broke. And the light came. And he was smiling. As he turned to look at the face of his new wife. He was going to say, darling, but he said, da. And said, oh, they've given me wrong meat. This was not the meat I was looking for at all. The thing pained him, pa. This was not the contrast. And was bored with his uncle. Uncle explained to him that the way our traditions are, the younger one cannot marry before the older. So you is not a problem. This one too is not bad. But if you really, really want
Rachel,
then work 7 more years. And he was prepared to do that. Do you know why? Passion. He wouldn't give up. He wouldn't give up at all. Yeah. So anything that you are doing, if you find out that you are ready to give up on it, then perhaps what is missing is passion. If it is there and it is strong and it is intense, no matter the obstacles you meet, you will never give up. I said you will never give up. And victory is laid down for those who never give up. Tell your neighbor, I will never retreat. I will never surrender. Any good thing I want to do, I will press on until I achieve it, until I accomplish it. In Jesus' mighty name, clap your hands unto the Lord and bless his name. And I wrote here that where there is passion, even hard work feels like play. And it comes with a lot of pleasure. If you have passion for something, even if it involves hard work, at a point it feels like play. It feels like leisure to you. And actually, that is one of the ways to find out your life's work. If you want to know what you are really cut out for, look for the thing that you are most passionate about and follow through with it. It will lead you to a lot of fulfillment and satisfaction in this life. If there's something you're doing now and it's a burden for you, and it's a struggle for you, perhaps it's because that's not what you are really supposed to do. But if it is really something that you are truly cut out for, there will be a lot of passion as you do it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I mean, I have said it in front here, somebody who has been a very close person to me in life. That's Reverend A.B. Reverend A.B., can you stand and wave at the people? All right. Now this man, I've never met somebody who is passionate about children like him. Yeah. If you watch what he does with the children, you just realize that there's some passion, there's some fire, there's some fuel be very strong in the inside of him that drives him to do what he does. It's a very fantastic thing. He goes to primary schools and JHSs, and he goes to minister to the little children. And you should see some of the videos. Little children, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, is ministering to them. And you should see the little children worshiping. And you should see the anointing that is flowing. And he goes from school to school. Many people treat children as nuisances. Like in the Bible, one day some parents were bringing their children to Jesus. And the disciples said, "Hey, mufri wanko, go away. Don't disturb the master. He's tired." And Jesus was bored with them. He said, "Let the little children come to me. What are you doing? Stop that rough day. Let the children come. Because the kingdom of God is for people like this. And if you are not like a little child, that kingdom you can never enter into it." Yeah. But most of us, we treat children as nothing. But he's passionate about them. And I've always told him that this thing that he's doing, when we get to heaven, a lot of us will be jealous of him. Yeah. He may think that you have some very large cathedral be somewhere. You have a lot of churches. You have a lot of branches. So because of that, you'll be a star in heaven. You'll be very, very surprised. That is people like him who will be the real stars in heaven. For the things that are highly esteemed amongst men, often before God, it is an abomination. So the only reason why he does what he does is that he has passion. So passion is important, because it's like a fuel that drives you. And when it comes to God and the things of God and the work of God and the house of God, ladies and gentlemen, it's one of the things we must seek for. We must have it, because we can never get far with God if we don't have it. If we don't have passion for God, we will not serve him well. We will not serve him properly. We will give up when we meet challenges. We will turn away from him, because there's no passion. It is because there's no passion that we struggle to do certain things. We struggle to pray. We struggle to read our Bibles. We struggle to work for God. We struggle to give to support the things of God. We struggle to do anything in the house of God. We struggle to come to church regularly. I put it to you, my friends, that it is the absence of that thing called passion. It's not there. It is not there. Let's be honest with ourselves for a change. It is not there for most of us Christians. So serving God is a burden. And it's like we have to wind you until you can do certain things. For you to come to church, we have to wind you. We have to start calling you from Wednesday. And we have to call them all the time. Look, every Sunday, I ask my pastors to produce for me a working list. What is this working list? I've asked them to give to me the names of the people they intend to call. And to visit during the course of the week. I've told them that when they come to church like this, they should be on the lookout. Which of my assembly members did not come to church today? And if you don't know why they didn't come, their names must be on your working list. And you must call them to find out, why are they not in church? Is everything okay? Because sometimes there's a genuine reason why things happen that may stop people from coming to church. But I expect the pastors to call the people and to visit them. But one of the reasons why we do that, apart from wanting to take good care of the people, it's because we know that the average church member, if you don't check on them, they won't come. The reason is because there's no passion. So then you begin to even question how serious they are about their salvation. You see, when you are saved, it doesn't mean that you don't have challenges. It doesn't mean that. But even when you are going through challenges, there is an earnest desire in the inside of you to do well. But for many people, the things of God is a challenge, it's a difficulty, it's like a burden. If you don't organize a bus to bring them to church, they won't come. You made me laugh my crazy laugh. If you don't organize a bus to bring them to church, sometimes you have to bribe them yeah, to come to church. There's something wrong with us. There's something seriously wrong with us. Why can't you come to church on your own? Now, the best thing that we do, it is to assist you and to make it easier. That's the only reason. That's the only reason for the bus. To facilitate your coming to church. So to me, your pastor, who is concerned about you, I know that you live in some corner be at Bechele Bomba. So I'm thinking that if we can get a bus close to you, it should be easy. It will make it easier for you to come to church. Is it the same? That now you get to a point, if for any reason I don't bring that bus, no change. But when you are going to town, who brings a bus to come and carry you? May I ask? You live at Zenu, New York. Is there a place called? Yeah, that's where you live. New York.
It's in New York.
Not in the United States of America. I mean the Zenu, New York. That's Zenu, where you live. Yeah. And you work in at
Makola.
So first of all, what do you do? Look, my dear Auntie Nana, who is seated here. Is that where Auntie Nana lives? Peaceland. And she works at Community 9 Tema. Now, for her to get to her workplace at Community 9, number one, what does she have to do? She has to walk from her house to a place called Anti Araba. Oh, that's not offering her. Oh, yeah, Bazi. So you have to walk to Wezo Junction. Yeah. Look, I went to visit her some time ago. It was like an excursion to the moon. Hey! You pass here, come. Because I made a mistake. I asked that they should send me the Google location. Google location. Look, this Google location thing, it's a very helpful tool. But it only works where the place is properly laid out. Not demi far. Not demi afar. Not demi afar. Not demi afar. Like that. Round and round and round. So finally I got tired. So now I had to call.
Also a friend of phone.
Then they asked me, where exactly are you? They said there are some okades around there. Meanwhile, that's not the only place where there are okades gathered. Yet the Nusato, finally, I found this Wezo Junction. Then I had to park my car.
So ordinary car is sure.
Because the car cannot get to her place. Because there is a bridge. Only human beings can walk on it.
Their
cars cannot go. So I had to park.
So parking.
And walk about 10 minutes to get to the house. She has to get to Wezo Junction. Then after that, from Wezo Junction, then you pick what again? You pick a car to Atadeka. And then from Atadeka to Tema. And then when you close, it is the same thing. And you do that how many days in a week? Monday to Saturday.
Wow.
You two. Yeah, not you two. 6 days a week.
Then see how now training.
So I would not expect. I would not expect that somebody like Auntie Nana, it should be a struggle for her to come to church once a week. Because she does that.
So yes, sir.
6 days. Then the only day, because practically for her, she cannot come for the Wednesday teaching service. By the time she closes to get here, by the time she gets here, the service is over. So she cannot come. All night she can come. But the normal teaching service on Wednesday, she cannot come. But Sunday morning, bus or no bus, because my dearest Auntie Nana will go through that ordeal to get to work from Monday to Saturday. On Sunday, even where there is no bus, I expect to see you. Passion. Because of passion. Because of passion. There are other reasons why passion is important. I'll go into that next week.
But
I will end here. So I want you to just chew on what I've shared with you today. Then as you're going, ask yourself, Chale, do I have it? Is there something that is burning inside me? Is there certain fuel that is driving me, because of which I am not giving up on serving God? I'm not giving up on working for God. I'm not giving up on giving tithes and offerings. Because some have stopped giving offerings. Some have stopped giving tithes. Because like, Maya, I've done, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'm not seeing what I want to see. So I've stopped. The pastors are lying.
So for me,
they are just chopping our money and deceiving us with all kinds of theories. But where there is passion, Even if you are yet to see what you are asking God for, you never give up. You press on, because there's something on the inside of you, something strong, something intense, driving you, fueling you. And ladies and gentlemen, where it comes to God, the house of God, the things of God, we must have it. And by the grace of God, we will have it. So help us, God. Rise to your feet and let us close. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lift up your hands to the Lord. Sing it again. For the last time, make up your prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here this morning. Somebody invited you to church, but you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Perhaps you're watching this live streaming and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you knew him, you will know. There's a certain conviction that you will have. And so if I ask you, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And you can't give me a clear answer, it's a sign that you are really not saved and you're really not born again. But I got good news for you. This morning, you can be assured of Jesus as your Lord and Savior. How? By inviting him to come and dwell in your heart, to wash you with his blood, and to make you a brand new person. And all by praying a simple prayer of faith. It can change your destiny forevermore. And I'm prepared to pray this prayer with you. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, wherever you are, physically present here or watching us online, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. Lift it up very clearly. I see your hand. I see your prayer with me. And as I wait, say, dear Lord Jesus, say it again, dear Lord Jesus, oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with your precious blood. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you. I will live for you for the rest of my life. Please write my name in the book of life. I thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.